A friend of the show that we've not spoken to in quite a while, but we love him deeply. Kyle Dubas, assistant general manager with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Is that your official title? Are you assistant GM or are you some other fancy title?
No, it's just keep it simple with that one. That's all it is.
I like that. There's so many fancy titles. There's almost as many fancy titles, Kyle, in hockey now as there are creative ways to describe injuries, whether it's lower, upper, right, left, general body. It almost has become its own sort of subcategory. Hey, you know, I'm always looking for similarities in things. And we focus so much in hockey and in life, I suppose, in some ways, Kyle, on differences between things. Like on this podcast, you know, I'm a real, you know, thoughtful hockey fan that has both a curiosity and a respect for the game. And this podcast works because that's me and Greg's an American. When you look at your relationship with Lou Lamoriello, a lot of people would look at it and say, wow, can there be two executives in the NHL in the same organization who maybe philosophically are at loggerheads, who have a different idea of the game? And I'm more curious, as opposed to differences, what do you find after working with Lou for a year now? Where do you find similarity between yourself and Lou Lamoriello?
I think it's been, for me, it's been a very good experience. And in the case of Lou, he's got so much to offer in terms of his experiences for me, who's just really starting. I'm just starting out my career, especially just starting out my career in the NHL. So to have Lou and Mike Babcock and Shanny to learn from in the organization has been great. And with Lou, the one thing that that I enjoy most about him is his openness to ideas and his ability to teach me things that I really had no idea about or no experience in, and let his experience that way. So it's been a lot of fun. I think for both of us, we knew there would be an adjustment and worked hard at, and I really appreciate where my relationship with Lou has gone, especially after the initial feeling out stage. It's been a lot of fun, and I've learned a lot from Lou and from Mike and Shanny. It's just a great setup, an ideal setup for my future and my career, and I couldn't ask for anything more.
You said he's open to ideas, and that's encouraging, because I think when he got hired, we all thought that your life was going to be that scene in Moneyball where Pitt and Jonah Hill are standing in front of that table full of the old guys trying to convince them about analytics, and none of them are hearing it. They're all talking about grit and determination. When you say open-minded, I assume that you mean that Lou is willing to play ball with the analytics and stuff, yeah?
Well, I think New Jersey was one of the first teams for sure 2 years ago during the season to publicly post for a position in analytics. And Lou, I think the one thing that gets forgotten is he's a former math teacher, and he is open to anything that can help the team. Just because a lot of that stuff hasn't gone public doesn't mean that he was never doing it or open to it in New Jersey. So it's been a lot of fun seeing what Lou's like versus the perception of Lou.
Kyle, I'm curious about, I mean, this time of year, all eyes are on trade deadline, end of the month, players in, players out. And we start to see, you know, around this time too, teams calling players up from the American Hockey League for a quick little showcase, you know, show around the NHL, let people know what this guy is all about, if he can hang with the big boys in the NHL with hopes of perhaps moving them, at trade deadline. From an executive's point of view, when that happens, would you get a call? I'm not expecting you to name any names, obviously, but would you get a call from a team saying, hey, we're bringing so-and-so up to have a look. You might want to sort of pay attention to our game tonight.
It hasn't been my experience. I think it doesn't even need to be said when teams are doing that. I think you just see it. And I think if we base our decision off of the small sample of, you know, three or four showcase games versus what we've known about the player for years and years, that gets dangerous. And I think you just add that to the sample. It doesn't become a determining factor at all. And if you're going to base it on those two or three games, it's a dangerous thing to do.
Let's talk about some people in the Leafs organization here. Tell us about Willie Nylander's progress. And what you're thinking about him going forward?
Well, I think for Williams, the year had gotten off to an excellent start with the Marlies, and then obviously got derailed a little bit at the World Juniors 7 minutes in when he took that hit. Had appendicitis when he was really just getting set to come back from his injury at the World Juniors, and has played in 6 games now with the Marlies. Obviously is producing at an elite level for a 19-year-old in the American Hockey League. Has been our number one center there. Really split between he and Mark Arcabello, and Mark has been with the team and has played against the other team's best players and continues to produce on the power play at even strength. So for us, it's very exciting when you talk about William. I think he still has some ways to go in all aspects of his game, like every single 19-year-old and the history of hockey. They're not perfect yet. They're not ideal in every aspect of the game, but he's got some elite talent, ability, and he's a terrific worker with regards to his studying of the game and learning from Sheldon. And it's going to be exciting when he finally gets his chance. When that is will be determined at some point in the future, and it'll be sure exciting for every Leaf fan and hockey fan to see him once he continues to roll in the American League, but then once he gets up.
Kyle, I'm assuming you saw the Mitch Marner goal against Niagara on Friday, right?
I did, yeah. It was
okay.
Very nice.
So, let me ask you this. When you see that, and by the way, for the record, he undresses Vince Dunn, who's a second-round pick of the St. Louis Blues, and puts it past Alex Nedeljkovic, you saw the juniors, Carolina prospect. So it's not as if he's doing it against scrubs. I mean, that's a pretty high-level play against some high-level players in the OHL. When you see a play like that, I mean, once upon a time, we would look at that, Kyle, and say, oh, he could do that in junior, but that'll never work at the NHL level. Do we still say that? Or are there rooms for what was once thought only a junior play in the NHL?
Well, I mean, it's certainly exciting, and I hope there's always room for plays like that in the NHL. I think as defensive as the game gets sometimes, it's plays like that. And I think we can look at basketball as a great example. It was a sport 10 years ago. I remember, it was the games when the Pistons were going to the finals with Ben Wallace and those players, the games against Indiana and in the finals, they were scoring 65 to 80 points in a game, and it was real physical and defensive. And the game has evolved over the last 10 years to where it's really exciting to watch, led by some great players, led by Golden State, etc. So I hope that hockey always has room for high-end skill plays like that, and that we don't suffocate them out of the game. And I think there's certainly an appetite in hockey for there to always be that in there. It's exciting. It sells the game. The casual observer to tune in, even if they're following it up subsequently on Twitter, you see a goal like that, and it gets you more excited about watching future games. And with a player of that talent and ability, I think we always want to be able to see that. So do I think you can do it? I mean, well, Connor McDavid played against us in the Sioux 2 years in a row in the playoffs and did a number of cruel things to us, and then I saw him against Columbus a few weeks ago do something similar. So do I think players can do it in junior and then in pro? Yes, I do.
You mentioned the Sioux, and I always love talking about your OHL days as well, and I wonder if, even at this point right now, when you see players that you had when you were running the Sioux Greyhounds, I guess Daniel Catenacci would have been the last one, make it to the NHL, do you still get that warm and fuzzy?
I think so. In the games that we played, whether it's been Vancouver and Jared McCann or Edmonton and Darnell Nurse, and even Arizona, a player like Tyler Gaudette, who is just a great story, and then we had Matt Murray play against us and play great against us with the Leafs in late December. Those are some of the best moments, I think, that you have in hockey, and now you experience it. I look at the role with the Marlies as similar to the one in the Sioux. You're managing the coaches and the players every day, and then also in player development, the players that are hoping to get to the Marlies sooner than later, whether it's Mitch Marner or Travis Dermott, etc. And you know, when you see those players, like Saturday night, when you see Brendan Leipzig score that goal, or even Mark Arcabello, who's been with the Marlies for most of the year, get two on Saturday and one again last night, it's rewarding and it's exciting to see that players that have developed and evolved with the program that you're managing have success. It's very gratifying and certainly a lot of fun.
Are you at all? Here's the thing about Toronto that I find fascinating. I think for years there's been this impression that there's no patience from fans. Like, you got to go there, you got to win soon, the natives will get restless, yada yada yada. But I get the sense that with this regime, with you and Lou and Mike and Brendan, that there is palpable patience. Like, the fans are willing to go with you on this journey, no matter how long it takes. Do you get that sense?
My wife and I live downtown now, and I walk to work every day, and people will stop and talk about the Leafs, and nearly every single person that stops will say to you, stick to the plan. Don't stray from the course. Don't, you know, we're with you. We have patience. It's really remarkable, because all that you hear coming in is, you know, that the fans are fed up and they're tired of it. But it's every casual fan that stops you, and especially fans at Marley's games, or when you're out on the road seeing, you know, our players and player development, they're unbelievable with their understanding of the plan that's in place and our stick to it. So it just gives you a lot more room to breathe and reduces the pressure that may be on, and it really makes you want to work harder. Fans are this understanding and this loyal and so on and so forth. It just makes you want to reward them that much more with an excellent team.
Over the past few seasons, we've seen sort of a decrease in the movement of players on trade deadline. It's become more tweak deadline than anything else, Kyle, as you well know. Do you get a general sense of where teams are at the trade deadline this year? Will it be an active one? Will it be a quiet one? How would you, just from the conversation so far, how will trade deadline be this year? Because I'm on set at 8 o'clock in the morning and have to do a full day of television, so please give me something.
I think it's going to be interesting. I think there's lots of teams that are still, you know, making that decision on which way that they're going to go. And I think it'll be an interesting number of weeks. I know that could mean that everything kind of breaks in the next week and leaves you to come up with some sort of routine to entertain the people on trade deadline day that doesn't involve any trades. But
I'm learning how to juggle, Kyle, right now as we speak.
But I think these things are so hard to predict. I mean, I know that last year was kind of a slower day. I mean, the year before I wasn't here yet, it was still the Sioux. I think it was quite a busy day with a number of trades. So it's always interesting. I think once the dominoes start to topple, they topple quickly. And if that's on the Sunday going into the Monday, it'll be a fun day for you. And if it's the next number of days and still just under 2 weeks away, it could be less entertaining.
Last one for me, Kyle, and thank you again for joining us here on this podcast. Your celebrity will no doubt help boost this podcast from its lowly levels to somewhere much higher.
Hey, man, we got John Scott to the All-Star game, Kyle. Think what we can do for you.
Why on earth didn't they make you the GM of the Young Guns World Cup team? For God's sakes, you're like 18 years old. You're like an assistant general manager in the NHL. I don't understand why they didn't do it. You would have been the perfect guy to carry the flag for those kids. Why on earth didn't they do that, Kyle?
The two guys that are running it have four Stanley Cups between them in the last decade would probably be the best answer. And are certainly much, much more deserving and more capable would be the truth, I think, of the matter. And I'm looking forward to that team. It's going to be interesting, the dynamic of it. But I think with Peter Chiarelli and Stan, it's in much better hands.
It's a couple of rings there. Last one for me, Kyle. The Dion Phaneuf trade. I want to focus in on one specific player that you guys got from the Ottawa Senators, and I'm going to ask you if DJ Smith, how much input he would have had. I would imagine would have been a lot. Your thoughts on Tobias Lindbergh? I mean, you were in the OHL when he was playing there. DJ Smith had him last year, won the Memorial Cup with the player. How much would you consult with DJ Smith before making a move like that?
I think we know the player very well. Because of his proximity to us and with DJ had him every single day last year, knows what he's about on the ice, off the ice. When you see a player every single day, you learn everything that he does very well and all of his warts. So you know, with a resource like DJ here, you know, it was really easy for us to get some excellent information. And, you know, in Tobias's case, he's played against the Marlies a number of times this year. We played against the Ottawa on exhibition and Ottawa in the rookie tournament. And Sheldon had coached against him before. Myself and Mark Hunter knew him very well, as with our scouts here. So we had a lot of background on him. We've got a strong belief in him as a player. He was really good on Sunday for the Marlies. and we're looking forward to working with him and seeing him grow. He's a big, strong, competitive winger with a lot of skill, and it's not something that we have a lot of in our organization, just in terms of his size and his strength, combined with his skill, of course. We never want to lose sight of that, but we're excited about him and his potential and his future with us, definitely.